Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Big episode this week.
Massive.
Not just because it's our 25th episode, which
that's
is...
That's like 25 hours plus.
Maybe a little bit more, yeah, because sometimes we run a little bit over an hour, but yeah.
So you've got like a full day. We've got like a full day's worth of us talking.
Didn't think of that.
And all the listeners have heard that. Yeah. You poor buggers.
If you've been listening to us every week, yeah, you've done a whole day of us, which is...
Yeah. 24 solid hours. 25 hours.
Maybe do a marathon. Someone do a marathon. Yeah. Someone just sit and listen to them all.
Oh my God.
And see how far you get and let us know on Twitter and that.
Yeah.
Obviously, be careful. If you do get too tired, go to sleep, like, but you know.
Yeah, there's only so much of Andy Ellis's voice that you can take. I'm aware of that. This week, Blake Harrison, who is a phenomenal actor, not
amazing
only
actor.
For playing Neil Sutherland in The Inbetweeners. He's got an amazing body of work behind him. He's so far away from being Neil, it's a joke. Like, that's how good of an actor he is. When we picked him up outside the Hammersmith train station, kind of stood at the side, I was driving up, and I was like, oh my God, I've got like Blake Harrison in my car. For me, personally, most recognisable as Neil from The Inbetweeners, and I grew up watching that, love that show, massive fan of it. So I was like driving along and I was like, oh my God. I kind of fanboyed over him a little bit, but you know, I'm sure he probably appreciated that. You know, he's very humble and very down to earth, and he appreciates when people appreciate his work.
Yeah, man. Yeah, like
which we did touch on in the podcast.
Yeah,
we?
Definitely. Yeah, he's like you say. I mean, again, Neil's someone that we don't really know.
Blake.
Oh fuck, I've done it. Sorry, guys. Blake's someone that like we don't really know that well. I worked with him many moons ago now on some mad BBC Three thing, and. Always kind of not really kept in touch, but we follow each other on randomly social media, which is his subject. But
he doesn't follow me on any, so we're gonna have to change that. If you are listening, Blake,
I'm sure you are.
Sort that out, mate. Sort that out.
Tomo did want me to. Tomo did say to me on the morning of recording, like, oh, wish he followed me.
Yeah.
Which you know, you've got a lot of cool followers that I don't.
Bragging
so.
Rights, mate. Sabrina the Teenage Witch follows me,
and that's amazing, man. Melissa Joan Hart.
Yeah,
man. I used to love
that's
Sabrina.
That's a pretty cool Twitter follower. Yeah.
Again, though, that this chat, as you'll hear in a minute, like was just again another lovely chat. Blake's such a down to earth top bloke, like
very intelligent.
Yeah, like he actually came armed with like facts and stories now, which was wicked as well. Like he'd done a bit of research on it, which was great. And you know, he's got some very, very valid points. And again, you know, it's not a do we agree, do we disagree. It's just a nice chat. You guys can make your own minds up, which is probably more relevant than ever.
Relevant.
because Blake does talk a lot in the chat about people just having one opinion now on like social media and not listening to others. So again, we've not come at this with any kind of opinion. You listen to this, you decide amongst yourselves if you think it's overrated or not.
Yeah, and social media is such a big thing because so many of us use it. And it's part of everyone's day-to-day life. So this was a great subject. I was really looking forward to it, actually, not only about meeting Blake, also about discussing this subject. So, I mean, I've openly said on my social medias that, like, I am genuinely addicted to it. and I refresh, go to another platform, refresh, and just keep going back and forward. And it's...
And Blake tells us the science behind that. Don't spoil it now.
No, I won't. But which blew my mind.
Crazy. Like, yeah. Science behind the refresh.
In fact, as soon as we finish recording now, I'm going to go tell Charlotte.
Yeah, yeah. You see, it's a good fact. It is definitely one for people to tell their to tell their mates and that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll get straight into the chat. But just before we do, so this was the last one of our chats that we recorded first sort of block of... London visits, which was amazing, guys, and that was you guys. That was every single one of you guys who reviews, who shares, who talks about this podcast, and who listens to this podcast, and especially as well for them guys who do donate a little bit on Patreon as well.
Yeah.
There's a few perks on there. We're going to add more, 100% in the future once we get. Once we can get on our feet and get doing it properly, like that's going to boom. But no, thank you guys, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
It's just allowed us to go to London. Like that's mint.
Yeah. And it's allowed us to open the doors to plenty of other amazing guests. I mean, we've been very fortunate anyway to have like the guests that we've had, but they've all been sort of north based.
And we know that you guys, obviously, in some of the comments that we have read out, like. You know, you do keep saying, you know, it's very northern, it's very... And we don't want it to be that. We want it to be open, and we want to be going down... Because we love London. We'll be going down south a bit more, and it's just easier to get to guests. And a lot of our sort of peers do work and live in London. So it lets us get to them. And we've got many more to come. And that's all thanks to you, so thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. We won't keep boring you. We'll let you...
Yeah, we'll let you get on. There is one more thing, though. After the chat, stick around, because we're going to do one of them things again where we ask you a question and then you guys respond on Twitter, because they're going great. The chart show one, the song one went great with Rebecca's. The prize-winning one.
Yeah, and it's a nice way to get you involved as well. Yeah.
So stick behind after the interview. But here it is, Blake Harrison.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
We have set up a Patreon. We have set up a Patreon. Patreon, however you want to say it.
A Patreon.
We have set up a Patreon.
What that does is that just helps us get things like train tickets, petrol for you. And it helps us get to bigger and better guests. We'll be doing cool little things on there, like
nice little giveaways.
You can put in your questions and then we can talk to you. Please go on to
www.patreon.com/overratedeverything. Harrison.
Hello.
How's it going, mate? You all right?
Really good, yeah. Yeah. Thanks for picking me up from the tube station.
Yeah, no worries, mate. We've had a few
travel difficulties.
Yeah, we've had a few guests this week. We planned this sillily. around silly. Is that a word?
I don't know.
Stupidly.
I like it.
So it's a word Trump would use, isn't it? Silly.
Yeah.
We planned this around like Easter weekend, which we were like, oh yeah, that'd be great. Like, yeah. No one will be doing anything, and then it's like, no, it's Easter weekend. People want to chill out, and spend time with the family. Yeah. So thank you for coming.
Yeah, I really appreciate you coming. And when we was in the car, I was saying to Andy, like, for me, this is like a massive. I've been looking to this episode more than any others. Obviously, you know, being a big, massive fan of the Inbetweeners and a lot of your other work, man, it's great. And you, so you worked on Dad's Army,
yes,
with Ollie Parker,
the
director. So I did a film with him,
the swimming
one, yeah. He's great, isn't he?
He's brilliant. Yeah, he's I love Ollie Parker.
Such a genuinely lovely guy, like really nice great guy. To work. Gives you a lot of freedom and stuff, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he's really, really great. But yeah, again, thanks for coming on. It's going to be a good episode, and your subject, obviously, the listeners will know now because they've clicked on the link. So your subject was, if you want to tell us a bit about and why you chose it. And
Social media, I think, is very overrated. I think there's a lot of problems with social media that we'll delve into, but some big ones. Do you want me to just kind of crack on with...
You kind of tell us what bugs you in that.
There's a lot, but I think that one of the... big ones, I think, is that it's made people a lot more tribal and really divisive. And I think that, you know, they kind of, social media has helped kind of get people into groups will attack other groups. And it means that any kind of discourse or, debates... There's very little room for like a grey area.
Yeah.
You very rarely get people on Twitter going, do you know what, I really understand your point of view. My point of view was kind of like this. You've made me think more about it. Like, you don't get that.
Yeah.
It's just, no, you're not wrong. Thinking what I want you to think.
Yeah.
You're wrong.
Yeah, yeah,
and then
you'll
start using all these expletives and be really aggressive about it. And
people get really personal as well on social media, can't they?
Like, massively.
Ridiculously personal, yeah.
I think it's that anonymity as well.
Exactly.
They've got
that
anonymity, like... I think out of all of those people that would be really aggressive towards you, say they want to beat you up or say really horrible stuff about like women or groups of people or anything like that, they do it because they're in a very safe space at their phone or their keyboard or whatever.
Yeah, they're sat at home, they're all right,
That's it. It's that age, that cliche of like, would you go up and say that to that person in a pub? No, you wouldn't. No one's going to go up to... you know, either a certain, except for like the 2% of the population that are a little bit like tapped or whatever, you know, are going to go up to like a celebrity or to a person of a different colour or creed or sexuality to them and really tell them what they think.
Yeah,
like, for zero reason, for no reason.
Just for the fact that they just don't get what they're going through or they just don't understand their life choices. Yeah, no, it is crazy, isn't it? Because like you say, it is that tribalistic... thing, but then is that human nature? Are we meant to be put into tribalistic? Do you know what I mean? Because even like football does it, in general kind of does it, doesn't it? And
absolutely, I think it does. I think that it's maybe football's a really good example of how we can be very, very tribal, but again, there's something to be said about football, and when you're in that stadium surrounded by everyone that feels the same passion or hatred as you do. There are people in there that start shouting and saying stuff about players or opposing fans that they would never just say on the street or in the office. They're not going to go up to someone in the office and say, you're doing your job, shit, fuck off, you mug. Yeah. They're not going to do it.
Yeah, true. The manager's a wanker.
They're not going to start chanting the manager's a wanker in the middle of the office.
If you're listening to this in your office now, feel free to do that if you
see
want.
See what happens. Just see what happens. It's in a social experiment. I just think that that's a really good kind of a parallel, I think. But Twitter's just designed at such a mass scale because
everyone uses it, don't they?
It's a strange one, isn't it, as well? Because I mean, is it still... they've changed it now, haven't they? You can write a little bit more than you used to be able to.
Yeah, you're allowed to write under.
You still can't explain things and, like you say, go in depth about things on Twitter. So, like, what you say... Twitter's just a minefield, isn't it, nowadays? Because you could... I mean, I post the odd funny tweet, and I used to do it a lot more, but now I'm like, will that get seen... out of context by people because of that, the world that we live in.
Very, very careful of that. I mean, there's a great, I say a great book, I haven't read it yet, but it's on my list. But I've read a couple of extracts from it, and it's something about, is it John Ronson? And it's called So You've Been Publicly Shamed.
All right, okay.
And I really want to, it's on my reading list at the moment. And there was a situation, one that I remember reading from an excerpt, where there was some kind of tech conference, and there was a couple of lads at this tech conference making jokes about big dongles all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, silly jokes.
Harmless fun.
Yeah, that kind of thing. But there was a woman in front of them that clearly thought it was out of order.
Yeah.
And she stands up, takes a photo of them both, sits back down. 10 minutes later, someone from the kind of, I don't know, wherever the hotel conference is, one of their staff comes and takes them out and says, can we have a word, please? And he says, you know, we've had this complaint about you, blah, blah, blah. And they're mortified and they apologise and all that. They go back to their seats thinking, gosh, this is really, like, I couldn't feel more bad about this.
Yeah, yeah.
And but the problem is, that woman that took the photo put it on Twitter. That's how it got out to the hotel staff.
Ah,
and
right.
one guy in particular lost his job over it because it was retweeted, and because he was making jokes about big dongles, and
that's
he
mental,
lost his job over
what?
It. Yeah, and he's had three kids, loved his job, lost his job because of the pressure then on social media. Because people do, they become that kind of like Twitter mob. That
they're out
for revenge. They're like. You know, like in those old Frankenstein movies where they've got the pitchforks and
the torches out
trying to kill the monster. And but then what happened after that, funnily enough, was that he then put an apology out, public apology out on some kind of website at the time.
Yeah.
And he mentioned that he'd been fired from his job and that he had three kids and stuff. So then people pick up on that and start really getting aggressive towards the woman that took the photo.
Oh.
And
Because she's ruined his life. Well,
yeah, they say, well, you've ruined his life. All he did was make a joke. And she ends up getting really quite terrorised. Like, you know, how people can be with these kind of, like, rape jokes. People sending her images of her kind of, like superimposing her face onto, like, porn things or, like, beheadings and all this kind of stuff. And then it went even as far as, I think, a company kind of did, like, a cyber attack on the company that she worked for and said, if you don't fire her, we will not take this, like, whatever virus it is that they've now got in their system.
Wow.
You need to fire her and then we'll stop the attack. So they did. They fired her.
Oh, my God.
So then both
of
these people
lost jobs.
Lost their jobs, parts of their lives, you know, ruined. And then some of these people become famous in some ways. There's another example, I think. A woman gets on a flight to South Africa just before she
I've heard this one.
You've heard this one?
Yeah.
Is it, she does a tweet saying something along the lines of, and I might be paraphrasing this, but something along the lines of, off to Africa, hope I don't get AIDS, ... only joking, white people can't get AIDS.
Jesus.
Wow.
Obviously,
that
causes
an
issue, regardless of whether she thinks it's just like a joke or whatever, it's going to cause a problem. She gets on this flight. She only had like 169 Twitter followers or something
like that.
By the time she gets off the flight 12 hours later or whatever, her phone is blowing up. She's got messages, thousands and thousands of tweets. Followings probably gone up loads because of it as well. And she loses her job.
Shit.
While she's on the plane, she loses her job.
That's insane.
You can't necessarily condone those kinds of tweets.
Yeah.
But she, I think, lost her job and then became kind of infamous, really, for this tweet, and was then unemployed for a good kind of like 6 to 8 months. And then when this guy who's writing this book goes to talk to her about it, it gets to a point where she actually gets her first job interview in months, and she flat says to him, look, I can't talk to you anymore, because anything that puts my name out there...
back onto the...
I can't be having... I'm just getting my life back together. So she was kind of the Twitter mob, the, you know, judge, jury and executioners.
And they've
sentenced her to... You know, what, basically my point is, does the punishment fit the crime? And who are we as a kind of society to just get on social media and really potentially ruin these people's lives?
Well,
because
the power of
social media
now is insane, isn't it? There was I'm guessing that's where the Family Guy episode came from. Did you see that one?
No.
So Family Guy, Seth MacFarlane had written an episode where Brian had tweeted something about a rapper or something, and he'd only just got Twitter, and he tweeted, so I don't, again, paraphrasing, I don't know what it was, somewhat along the lines of, this rapper's that, or da-da-da-da, and then he sent a tweet, went into the cinema, and then during that film, again, his whole, everyone had picked up on this.
Yeah, it's probably from that.
Yeah, that's probably what it, but in the time of a film had gone, it had been retweeted 100,000 times, and then again, he had a lynch of people. Again, I'm going off a cartoon, but that's what it, that is, that sort of thing.
No, probably,
the power of social media. Well, if it gets 10 retweets, say if I see something on Twitter and I retweet it, my followers, so that person who's only got, I don't know, say 207 followers, I retweet it, then there's, I don't know, 90,000 people who are going to see that, and then if you retweet it, then there's another 180,000, and then it's like, before you know it, there's 500,000 people who can see that tweet, and then it's like you said, once it's out there, and people screenshot it, and people don't forget that sort of thing.
No.
See, I did one, it was a tweet, and it, to be fair, it was probably a bit of a silly tweet. It was on the, you know, the International Women's Day.
Yeah.
So, The story was, is it was International Women's Day, and I wanted to text my wife something quite crude, as in, it's International Women's Day, you can have this day, but when you get home from work, on International Men's Day, I want that day to be about me. So I put on Twitter, like, when's International Men's Day? And that went ridiculous. And there was loads and loads of women going, like, giving me, like, saying really personal things, and also saying things like, men get 364 days of the year to themselves, and then women get that one day. And but that tweet, I didn't tweet that to get that reaction. I genuinely wanted to know when International Men's Day was.
Yeah.
Granted, I could have Googled it. I know that.
Yeah.
So, but I put it on Twitter, and again, that went out there. And then it was all like in the papers, like, shamed, this is England starring, sexist rant. And I was like, Jesus, it was like, I genuinely meant it as like a harmless tweet.
Yeah.
But then again, there was like people saying really personal things about me and about my appearance and about, like, you know, well, family and things like that. It's like,
but that's what I'm talking about. It's that kind of thing of like, completely misconception. People think what you've said is right or wrong. It's that kind of punishment crime imbalance there. Yeah. That's like, how dare you think that you can then just go and completely attack someone en masse? And it feels like some people, and not all, some people will genuinely be disappointed that someone has said something that they don't agree with and want to have their say. But I do think that there's a group of people out there that are more interested in picking up on what's
more
current.
Interested.
They're
in
kind of peacocking
ended.
Their virtue in a way by saying, I'm going to show how not sexist or not racist or not I am
by sharing
by
this.
Really going for you hell for leather. and another thing with social media you get is that I think it's really damaged journalism in a lot of ways, because you get a lot more clickbait articles and you'll see people that they'll see that a politician has said something that is anti-Semitic or homophobic or misogynistic, and they'll click on it, see the headline and go, oh my god, this is disgusting, then go and attack that person and tweet about that person and hashtag all the stuff.
Having not understanding what the original
tweet
was.
Well, not even read it, not even done their research into what the conversation was. But you could then go onto the video where this person said it and then go, actually, they didn't say it the way you're construing it.
Yeah, it's completely different. The whole thing, like someone, I don't know, say if I was up for a series at that time of that tweet, say but when I did that tweet, again, completely innocently, shame, this is England starring sexism. Yeah. If the casting director see that and just saw the headline, they'd be like, oh, actually, no, we don't want anything. Like, that could have ruined a life-changing job for me. Mm. And it's like, it's just so how people can completely misconcept what you mean and just go in hellfire.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because it gets that way as well now, where like comedians are getting attacked for funny, and it's like that's their job. Their job is to make you go, ooh, can they? Because I'm a big fan of like comedy should make you think that. I think as long as you're not genuinely hurting someone, or you know what I mean, or attacking a group or anything like that. Do you know what I mean? Like people like Ricky Gervais and
Frankie
Boyle.
A great example.
Frankie Boyle, for instance, is like, if you watch his comedy
some
shows,
of his things are like, ooh.
Yeah, exactly.
But
that's his
you
job.
Watch that knowing what you're getting yourself in for. So people watch that. But I think nowadays there's so many people who are out to be offended, and like you said, they'll be scrolling through Twitter to find something to be offended by.
Yeah, but I think like
to
what
then go on, sorry.
I was saying, I think like what Blake said then though is they're not necessarily offended, but they're going, right, okay, well, I need to make share this because people need to know that I'm not a racist or I'm not a... So, do you know what I mean? In terms of, like, the lady who posted about Africa, it's like, well, that's wrong, and it is wrong.
God, imagine if Roy Chubby Brown at Twitter in the day.
Yeah. But it's... But, I mean, you know, that's great. You know, times have changed, and that kind of comedy should be kind of left back in history books. But even things like In Between Us, for instance, like, the way that the world's gone now with social media... I don't think that'd get made now, even though it was only, what, 10 years ago?
It was. I think we started the series in... We filmed it in 2007. It aired in 2008 for the first time.
Yeah, because that was quite ballsy. But that was... Yeah.
But that was where it was Channel 4, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So Channel 4, yeah.
Yeah, so Channel 4 have got that. They take more risks.
But like, what I'm saying is, like nowadays, you know, you've got... Again, is it real? Because a lot of things on social media is hearsay and stuff, like, and clickbait. You know, like, I seen something the other week saying, like, millennials are annoyed at Friends. Do you know what I mean? And Friends were you know, a lot more PC, for instance, than things like The Inbetweeners. And, you know, even like This Is England saying that, like, people are just jumping on, well, I'm offended, like, you can't say that. It's like, well, people do, like, you know, for instance, The Inbetweeners, four young lads, like, that's how four young lads in school talk.
Group chat is literally like what you guys got up to in the series.
And I think the point of that show in particular was that you're laughing at the ignorance, which is why you get a lot of people saying to you, oh, make another one. Oh, like the lads when they're either at university or they're growing up and they've got kids. And my response to that always is, but you'll lose what's funny. Because what's funny about the show is you've got these idiot teenagers that don't know enough about the world saying stuff, and you as an audience can laugh at their ignorance.
Yes, exactly.
If you make them 28 and they're still saying the same things, then I think you go, well, that's just offensive. Yeah, they should know better. And that's why I think that would never work.
Yeah, true.
But exactly. In terms of, like, all the whole, like, the, what's fake and all the clickbait and all that stuff... Is I'm going to get a bit conspiracy theorist.
No, but go for it, mate. We've got our tinfoil hats on. Yes, exactly.
That's a real thing. I was listening to, I think, a woman called Renee DeResta, and she has kind of researched all this kind of like Russian bot stuff and how there are kind of like troll farms in Russia where state-sponsored are kind of trying to control things like the election of Trump.
Yes,
and I'm assuming... Brexit and stuff, and they will set up pages that are aimed towards a certain group of people, whether it be far right, far left, LGBT, you know, whatever it is, and they'll have specific rules of what to do to attract that attention and memes that they create, and you know, you have to look at like you get things like the EDL ones that were all like the Muslims hate Christmas, they want to bring down all the Christmas. She's like, that's not true,
that's not real.
But
on
social media, some people will believe it and they'll go, oh well, that must be true, they want to take down all the Christmas trees in Croydon.
Yeah.
There was the whole England flag thing as well, wasn't
there?
How, because we were saying about this, weren't we?
One of our other guests wanted to come on, they had to cancel unfortunately, but wanted to come on, it will be a future podcast, and talk about patriotism. Do you know what I mean? And we were saying, weren't we, like you were saying, like you always see about England, like you can't put an England flag up. And I said to you, I was like, no, that's complete bullshit. Like,
yeah.
But you get all these things that are, you get all these things that are shared on Facebook that are and made by people who want to create this hate. Like people who, and you know, the whole EDL thing and all that. You know, people will create this photo that's got absolutely no truth to it whatsoever.
Yeah.
And then people who are narrow-minded, who will believe that, will share it on Facebook. Yeah. And then, but that's just generated to create hate and divide. And it's like,
100%.
there's no proof to what's you're sharing. And you know, and you're sharing it, and you've probably got kids on your Facebook who will read that, and then they'll go around the street saying that, and then it's like that just creates this hate so easily, and it's scary.
Yeah, I mean, that's like you're saying it. Like if it is, you know, these Russian troll farms and stuff, like that's exactly what they're doing, isn't it? Is it what it's doing? It's like divide and conquer. Yeah. You can't conquer a group of people that are, you know, strong together. So you divide them. Mm. So at the minute, like, say, our country, America, places like that, they're so divided. Do you know what I mean? It's like easy pickings for someone to come in and go, this is how it should be done. And you know, looking at, like, say, you know, the history books with, that's exactly what happened with, like, the rise of Hitler. The company was...
The population in
Yeah, exactly. The country, you know, of Germany was so mad divided, and Hitler came in and was like, this is why. It's these people that are doing it. And then
Yeah.
Lo and behold, you know, what happened and, you know, dreadful shit like that. But it's kind of history repeating itself, but on a massive scale now. Like back then,
so
it would
accessible.
Have been posters on walls. It would have been, you know, propaganda
like
that.
Well, they used to have meetings as well, like EDL meeting, National Front meetings, that. Whereas nowadays, there's no need for it because you can just do it all online.
Well, I mean, Facebook have, in the last couple of days,
I saw
that, took the EDL.
And Tommy Robinson
is not allowed which is great. I mean, there is an argument there of freedom of speech. You know, as much as I disagree with what they're saying, everyone, I think people deserve to be heard just so you can listen to why they're saying it.
Yes.
Rather than listening to
people don't say why they're saying
that. Exactly. So rather than listening to what, you know, people like Tommy Robinson saying and just either disagreeing with it, whatever, go, right, okay, what's led him to say that? Why is he saying this and that? And it's a systematic... It comes from the top, doesn't it? It's not... He's blaming it on one particular group of people when actually it's probably the bankers and it is probably the... You know what I mean? It comes right from the top. So, you've got to look at why he's saying that, I guess.
It's about like the way everything is right now as well, with the how everything is so... immediate, and that I think the way that like Netflix, you can just stream everything all of the time, Twitter and Facebook, these instant messages, everything is so immediate that people will just take stuff and they won't necessarily do their due diligence of researching any facts and things. Like that. It's like one of the things, because my like Facebook, which I'm rarely use much anymore, but that kind of Facebook bubble I used to live in, very predominantly kind of liberal left wing.
I mean, I'm on there, so
Shut up, Andrew.
Honestly, I'm like, I've hovered my finger over the delete button so much.
But you know, there was that one going around during the kind of whole Trump thing, and it was, and again, I'm going to paraphrase, but there was a meme of Trump saying, if I ever ran for president, I'd run as a Republican because they just believe anything or because they're stupid or whatever. A lot of my friends and stuff were posting that going, see, he even said it. Not true.
Yeah, he didn't. Never said it.
He never
said
it. Someone in a basement's made.
Exactly, yeah. And again, so it's kind of... It's both sides of the political line are to blame for that kind of like fake news and that. And it's a real shame because like when you see someone like Trump going on about fake news, you think, God, if only that kind of left side didn't kind of get down in the gutter with those people and fight on their level and they stayed a bit more dignified at times, then we could just go, you're chatting bollocks, mate.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, because there is evidence of the liberal left fake news,
which
I suppose, you know, they brought out to fight the far right fake news, which is to a point understandable, but because you've got that now, what he's saying has an element of truth about it,
exactly,
and so he can get away with saying it all the time even when it's not true. And that's the whole thing with that whole kind of like Russian bot thing. They're kind of win-win either way, because they either convince people to vote a certain way or not vote a certain way based on that kind of tribalism and division again. But even if they don't do that, they've probably made so many people like myself wary of what is true and what isn't true.
Yeah, exactly.
That you end up feeling slightly paralysed by just not being sure of what's real.
Yeah.
And so they kind of win-win either way, because you're either inactive or you're active in the way they want you to be.
It is true. Like I say, like obviously I do post quite a fair bit of like lefty sort of stuff, but... And I have been a victim of that in the past, where I've actually gone, someone messaged me and said, "Oh mate, what you posted there is not true." Here's the facts. I've gone, "Oh shit!" Like for instance, there was one the other week, and it was something about Canada, some minister in Canada, and they basically, I read it and saw it as they're separating religion from state, and I was like, "Brilliant!" Like I think every country should separate religion from state. And I shared it. I was like, clap hands, brilliant. And a girl messaged, she commented on it and she went, "Why are you applauding a far right group?" Like basically saying like hijabs can't be worn in parliament. And I was like, "Oh, what?" And then I clicked and read the article and I was like, fucking hell, no, that's not, like, no, like that's not, you know, separate religion from state, but like, you know, people can wear, like, have the religion that they want.
Absolutely.
Just don't be making rules based on religion.
But which makes perfect sense.
So again, it does happen both sides, I guess, with like, say, this fake news, or because that headline to me was exactly, you know, was so kind of left-leaning liberal, like, wow, yeah, okay, yeah. That's fucking well done, Canada. Yeah. And then when you actually click it and read it, it's like so fucking far right. Like, it's... Yeah, I was like,
lesson learned.
Yeah, lesson learned, man. Read what you're sharing. But it's so true. Yeah. Like,
but you do have to be careful. You have to research as much as you can. So I generally stay away from any of these kind of like political posts and stuff now, because I remember I kind of slightly got done by the whole, was it Coney 2012? Do you remember that one?
The name definitely rings a bell.
I think it was 2012. It was basically about the way it was pitched was like there was some kind of... like militant, like general guy that was kind of like, I suppose raping and pillaging his way across parts of Africa, and he was left kind of untouched, and he was taking a lot of children in to be, he was giving these like really young children the option of either join my army or we'll kill you. Obviously they join the army because they're children. Yeah. They don't want to die. This guy set up this whole charity thing and the whole big YouTube campaign, Facebook thing, whatever. And then I like retweeted it and said, yeah, this, like, God, this guy looks like he knows what he's doing. This is great.
Yeah.
And then I started getting a couple of tweets back from a couple of people being like, this is all bullshit, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, as if I'm going to see you at the protest and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, I don't know why I'm getting a bit of heat off this. This seems like a no-brainer. The evil man. Let's stop it. And then it turned out that the guy that created the campaign, I don't know if he was technically a fake, but one of the things I do know was that he was caught masturbating in public in a public park.
I have told Andrew about that.
Yeah.
shouldn't be doing that.
It was just all a bit of a fuck up, really.
Shit. So this guy didn't exist then? Or?
No, to this day, I now still don't really know.
Yeah, fuck.
But I was really taken in by it. And since that, I've kind of gone, maybe I should just, I'm going to really research the hell out of something.
You've got to be so careful now.
Shut on those subjects, because you just don't know. And
having such a big following as well, you've got to be careful what you share and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain things that I just, I've kind of calmed down a bit lately, but, you know, the lady who wanted to come back over, Shamaya
Begum.
I literally didn't share anything about that because I was like, this issue is so bizarre and so, like, I'm not a politician. I don't have a clue what would happen there.
It's
so
best
that's
to just
not
avoid
to...
sharing anything. Like, if you don't have a full understanding of it, then, like, because I was exactly the same. And a small part of me was like, oh, maybe I do want to join the bandwagon. You know, but then I thought, no, because I don't understand it, and I know there's so much more behind it than what we're being told.
Yeah.
By the media, and I thought, I'm not going to get involved because, I don't understand enough of it to share and sort of put your name to it. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I think people are scared of saying, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, people are just so like, I have to have an opinion, and I have to be really... you know, stalwart in my opinion. I
and we're
never
being in
the
public
down.
Eye. People want to know your opinion as well. And
but I think it's fine to just say, do you know what? I don't know enough about that subject.
Yeah.
Please, you know, enlighten me. It's like saying that you, every debate that you get into, I think you should get into that debate being happy to be proved wrong.
Mm.
Because then you'll walk away a more intelligent person.
Yeah.
So, you know, have the debate, give your argument. But if someone proves you wrong, go... fair enough.
Yeah.
That's great. I've walked away more. I'm more well informed now than I was 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, you're learning, aren't you? Like, that's better than
opinions
being right.
Are so strong on Twitter, though, aren't they?
That's the problem.
Yeah, and like you said earlier on in the podcast, like people don't. It seems that people don't have a nice way of doing it. Like people have got such a way on Twitter. Like you said, they wouldn't come up to you and chat about it in the pub or anything like that. It's all on Twitter, and it's so like. In your face, and they say people get really personal, and it's like, well, I don't understand why it has to be like that. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, I think it's like you say, it's negativity spreads far quicker than positivity.
Yeah,
100%.
And these places are just like, they're like just gossip forums, aren't they? And people love to gossip. I love a bit of gossip.
Yeah.
Like, everyone, you know what I mean? Like, if you're down the pub and it's like, oh, what Dave's been doing. And you do. You get sucked into it. You're like, fucking Dave's been doing that. Like, you
dirty
know,
Dave, dirty
and,
Dave.
Yeah, but that's like on a small scale. But then, like you say, with the tribalistic stuff, when it's reached out on this massive scale, and then, like you say, you know, places just jump on it. You know, I used to work for a social media page, and, you know, things that they'd share sometimes, you look at it and you'd go, you've just shared that. purely because you know it's gonna loads of people are going to jump on that headline. Like, you don't care about that, but you're sharing it purely for that reason. Like say, like clickbait, and it's like, so be the change, man. Do you know what I mean? Be the people who don't do that. Maybe you'll lose followers, whatever, but if you start being that change, then you'll be respected for it far more later on.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Rather than just sharing that or, you know, like you say, I think what, you know, with these big sort of online pages as well, a lot of them don't have an opinion. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's quite bad as well. They're just kind of like, we've not got an opinion on this, but you have the opinion in the comments. Rather than going, guys, you know, this is a bit shit, really, isn't it? Yeah. Like, you know,
it's like starting a little fire and walking away and giving everyone else
exactly.
You can talk about fire. Yeah. But again, I've started it. Yeah,
I was listening to that. I think Rene DiResta talking about the Russian bot thing again, and there was one incident where this far right page had been set up. Obviously, people over in America gravitated towards it that were, you know, sympathised with the far right cause or whatever. And they set up this big protest. But then the day after the protest, all the comments on this page were, "Where were you, man? You weren't there. There was no organisation." It's like, yeah, because it was set up by some millennial in Russia that didn't give a shit. Yeah. So in a way, you kind of think, yeah, well, serves you right.
Yeah, it serves you right for buying it.
But yeah, there's that. And they'll set up, like, the far-right protest. They'll make sure that that's in a similar area and date to the Black Lives Matter protest and things like that. So, again, it's just how can we cause as much disruption, chaos and division as possible, which is why, you know, that I just think it is. It's dangerous, that whole...
It's an interesting tactic, I guess, if it is, you know, like you say.
You always said it. You said something to me once about when Facebook or MySpace or Bebo, that's when, you know, that's when, like, the social media was good. You know, when it wasn't used as a bad... You said something to me once, we've been given this amazing platform.
And
it's been turned round and it's been used for the bad, which is I'll never forget you said that.
I think it's... For me... Facebook, social media in general is amazing. It should end racism. Because it's one place that everyone has access to, and we can all come together. Yeah. Whether you're rich, poor, no matter your sexuality, no matter your race, like, this is a place that it's a utopia in a sense of everyone exists on the same level playing field here, and people have just twisted that and made it such a horrible place, like.
Because
it's just complete, and I think Blake hit that right. It is that tribalistic thing. I think that is very much human nature. Do you know what I mean? Look at, like, America. You know, it was this whole new world where, you know, people from Europe went and it was like, right, okay, we can have our own piece of land now, and this will be great. And then, you know, fucking slavery. You know what I mean? Like, we just genuinely, as people, just fuck things over, don't we? Do you know what I mean? Without, you know, like...
Because it is good. I mean, there is good in social media. Do you think there's any good in social media?
There is some good. And I'm aware that I have a Facebook, a Twitter, and very recently an Instagram account. So the hypocrisy is there to be seen. But, there is good. I mean, there will be good groups and good causes coming together off of the back of social media.
In terms of, like, charity events and things like that. You know, sharing, like, you know, the GoFundMe pages, like, people, like, my wife's running a Race for Life, so it's good to put that out there to help raise awareness for something that's so terrible.
Yeah.
So there's that good aspect of it.
Yeah, I just think that there is that good aspect of it, but I worry it's that we're losing lot. Like, even just analytical debate is kind of out the window because people are just so aggressive and, you know, their confirmation bias, all that kind of stuff of like, oh, that fits my narrative, so I'll take that as gospel without researching it. That doesn't, but whether it's true or not, I don't give a shit, I'm just going to attack it. I worry that the negatives outweigh the positive, especially when you think about... And again, it's maybe a bit conspiracy theorist, and there'll be people out there listening to this going, "That Blake is mental." if there is a huge sway, and I think there could be in kind of public voting, where someone is behind the scenes orchestrating, like Cambridge Analytica and all that kind of stuff, influencing Brexit, Trump, and whatever else may happen in the future. That's quite scary.
Of course, because like you say, it's completely, it's taking away the power of the people. It makes you feel like you've got more power, but really, you're voting for that person based on, like you say, just myths and
words on
lies.
Screen.
Yeah,
do you know? Yeah, words on screen, like you say, you know. Trump, you know, there's certain things like we were saying before, when he's talking about like fake news and that, and then you know, like a lot of these media outlets do attack him, and then you're going, well, why? The media outlet, like, you look at it and you go, well, you know, why are they attacking him? What are they scared of? What are they scared of losing from this guy and stuff like that? So you've got to look at everything, and if, you know, something like that, you are proven wrong, you've got to put your hands up and go, oh, fair play, like, I didn't know that, like, yeah. Now I've learned, now, like you say, now I'm a better person, I guess.
Yeah.
But, so, like you're saying there, like, Instagram, because that's now, like, the big one.
That's the biggest.
Like,
Instagram and Snapchat.
That's now moving over. Yeah, Snapchat as well. But, like, that's, for one, is, for me, like, I've never really understood, I guess. Like, there was a great post that I seen the other day and probably shared. And it was saying, like, stop following influencers. Start following artists. Because influencers will show you... Something like influencers will show you like the world they wish for.
Yeah.
Where artists will make you question yours.
There
and stuff
is
like that.
There is a different kind of influencer though. I believe, like we had Aaron Craskell.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
Are you familiar with Aaron Craskell? He does. He's very family friendly.
Yeah,
a lot of young kids follow him, and he has fun. He basically publicly humiliates himself.
Yeah.
He does, you know, he'll be walking through a supermarket with his headphones on and sing really loudly, and he's just, you know, he's creating fun, and he'll share them videos, and he's got like 5 million followers. So he's got and he's influencing young kids who have got these devices, because all young kids have got phones now.
Yeah.
And they're thinking, right, well, if Aaron can record these little videos on the camera that I've got in my pocket, maybe I can do that. And it's making kids become creative from a very young age.
Yeah,
you know, I think that sort of thing is great.
Yeah, 100%. And like I said in Aaron's show as well, like, what he's doing is different in that sense, because he's doing, I compared it to, do you remember, like, in, like, sort of the early, mid-90s, you had, like, the Adam and Joe show?
Okay, yeah.
Where they got their show on Channel 4 purely from dicking about with cameras. And Shane Meadows did the same. He used to get cameras and make things with his friends.
The short films of him and Paddy Considine are amazing.
Exactly.
But kids don't really watch TV anymore, but
he's taking this new technology and he's creating actual good art.
But then you're getting the other side of the influencers, you know, people who are, you know, I don't want to say a specific type of people, but, you know, like the Instagram models who live these perfect lives and they're spending 700 quid on trainers and they've got 800 quid sunglasses on, and, you know, they're pretending that they live these great lives, and there's people on there who will watch that or you know, look at their photos and think, well, their life's so great, well, why is mine not that good?
Yeah. I think
and it can create a
health.
Lot of mental health.
Yeah.
Massively.
The comparison aspect of social media
aspect of it is insane.
Yeah, you know, you see, as you say, these people leading these lives, which are filtered lives.
Yeah,
They're not real lives, but people will go away, and as you say, you think, well, why is my life not like that?
Does
and,
their shit stink? It's like, it still
does,
you know what I mean?
There was a girl the other day I saw an article about, and she's like an influencer on that kind of thing. She poses pictures and she's always looking good and stuff on Instagram. And she woke up one morning and her Instagram account had been deleted. And she then posted a video of her crying her eyes out, like absolutely, you know, just distraught. And she was crying, saying, like, you know, I've basically lost my job. I've lost my source of income. Like, that's how I earn a living. I've moved out to LA to do this. And a lot of people, like you say, in the comments were just, ha, that's your fault, and being quite horrible. And I looked at it and I was like, in my head, I guess, traditionally, I'm going, but that's not a job. Like, so, because I think one of the quotes she said was like, I can't work a 9-to-5. Like, I just can't do it and stuff. And I'm looking at it going, maybe not say that, but then also I'm looking at it going, like, this poor girl has just lost the job.
It's a modern time job.
Yeah.
It is a modern day job.
Yeah.
Like going to work in Sainsbury's or, you know, like Aaron was saying on a previous episode that he works ridiculously hard. You know, he's constantly editing and because he's got such a big following, he's under so much pressure to make 4.5 million people or 5 million people laugh and he's got to do a new video every other day. You know, and it's like the comedians in a way, but just...
Yeah.
All in people's hands.
Yeah.
You know, instead of going to a show, you're just watching the videos, and that's how he generates his money, and that's how he feeds his kids
and pays
his mortgage. So it is a job. Yeah. And people might struggle to understand who might work hard on the motorways or on the rail, or, you know, working them kind of jobs, might watch and go, that's not a job. But then in a sense, what we do as well as actors, we get paid to, every time I'm on set, I often think, Jesus, how is this a job? But we do work hard.
Yeah, we work hard. But again, you always think to yourself, I mean, I don't know about you guys. For me, I never wanted to do anything else. This is all I ever wanted to do. And you're just like, I just couldn't ever see myself doing anything. I had no plan B. It's all or nothing. And, you go on set and you just love being there and love it. And the flip side to that is that when you're not working, you're having a dry spell, God, doesn't it get you down?
That's hard. The hardest work is when we're not working.
When you're not working, I always say that. The hardest part of being an actor is when you're not working. Yeah. It's terrible.
Money, but then not even just money, it's like you say, like, I'm happiest when I'm being creative. Like we were speaking off mic, like this is why I've done this, like, well, why we've done this, like, it came from a spell of not working and just being like, I just need to do something creative. And it's a couple of mics and it's editing, and but I'm I'll go home and sit at home and edit this, and I'm happy because I'm like, oh, I'm being creative. And it's
absolutely,
you've got
to
keep that ticking over, because otherwise, like you say, it does get you fucking right down.
On social media, looking at other people doing it.
Yeah. I'm like, fucking hell, Blake's working again.
But God, don't I do that? I mean, that's the worst thing. That comparison thing is a killer.
It's horrible,
because I'll see other actors that I think of as my peers. You know, I think of like, oh, we're on the same level. We're of a similar age. We've done similar stuff. Then all of a sudden, one of them will land a job which just takes them up into BAFTA and Oscar or whatever, working these huge films or whatever it is, and you go, oh God, I'm left down here. Why isn't that me? I didn't get an audition for that.
I think that's an exciting thing, though. I think there's an element of excitement, like, when you're sat at home and you're going around, taking the kids to school, like, your phone can ring. Your phone could be ringing now, and your agent could be like, Blake, you know, Spielberg's on the other end of the phone and he wants you to do this thing. And I think there is an element of
excitement.
Never
stops calling, obviously.
Yeah, well, yeah.
God, Spielberg, go away. Shut up, Spielberg, I get it. Yeah.
But there's the element of excitement. Like, I always look at Stephen Graham as a role model and an idol for me. Stephen, he was in sort of Snatch Gangs in New York. Mm-hmm. He was very well known. Then he did This Is England. And after This Is England, I know he had like two years of not working at all.
Really?
Yeah.
He's going to quit and become a social worker?
Yeah, he had a really tough time of it. I've seen Stephen in so many things, and I think his portrayal of Combo was probably the best performance
for years. He's phenomenal,
But now I look at Stephen, who's 40-odd, he's in his 40s,
and
his career now is like his career now just is taking on this new level of brilliant, creating a brilliant body of work. So it's like, it's never too late for us, is it? You know what I mean?
No, only takes one job, and that is the opposite. And it's a marathon, not a sprint. Like, look at sports stars and athletes that have got till they're about 35, and if they haven't done well, then it's not going to happen. Whereas with us, it's like, you know, you can, as long as you can earn a living and earn a crust for even 20 or so years, 20, 30 years, you can kind of just get by, and then you might get your big break when you're 50.
But do you think do you think as actors social media is important?
I was going to ask this, like, do you use it to help your
career?
Because
we were chatting in the car briefly, weren't we?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of things on that. For me, I feel like I wouldn't be on any social media if I wasn't someone that needed to plug something, get people to watch something. Because as much as I'm not really interested in being famous at all, I still want people to watch the work I do,
so I'm
proud of it. And there's, I suppose, a little bit of a narcissist in every actor that wants people to say, oh, you did well.
Yeah,
that was really good. And you get
appreciating
buzz off
your work, isn't it? Well, in any job, when your gaffer comes up to you and says, you know what, good work today, mate, it's like, gives you that little boost, and it makes you feel like you're not wasting your time.
Yeah, there's no actor that does a theatre job and then doesn't come out for the final curtain, I don't think.
Exactly,
want that bow, you want that appreciation. It's just part of the makeup, I guess. But I have heard horror stories, though, about, and I screen grabbed one the other day, a casting call for it was only for a commercial, to be fair, but it was a commercial that said must have 5,000 plus social media followers.
God.
Like, are you joking?
Nah, mate,
how long is it before that starts creeping its way into, you know, for all due respect to commercials, like, real kind of artistic work.
I've heard it could happen.
Yeah, I've heard horror stories in that it already is.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I heard, and I don't know how true this is, of an actor who auditioned,
yeah.
didn't get the came out. His agent rang him, look, you've not got the job, they're going another way with it. He was gutted. He just put on social media, like, I'm really gutted. I was up for this thing and I didn't get it. That many people retweeted it and saying, oh, you should have got that job. You should have had it. It should have been yours, whatever, whatever. His agent rang him back the next day and was like, you've been offered that job.
No way.
Yeah, yeah. No. I mean, I don't know how true that is.
I'm going to do that after every audition. I wanted to audition for Pirates of the Caribbean 7. Yeah, but, didn't get it.
I believe, retweet. I mean, I don't know how true that is. I heard that from someone else in a casting. They were talking about it. But yeah, no, apparently, like, in Hollywood now and places like that, say they've got...
maybe this is why I'm
they've
not
got
working.
An action movie. They will now go, okay, we've got this action movie, we need a leading man. Right, okay, how well is Tom Cruise doing on social? They straight away look at that and go, right, has Tom Cruise trended in the last year? How many followers has he got? Oh, wait, who's it? Okay, Chris Pratt is actually doing... okay, well, it's going... Do you know what I mean? Because realistically, though, for them, I guess...
They create a brand for themselves.
Yeah, but then... So for these casting directors and these, you know, probably the producers more, they've put money into something. They want to get more money out. So for them, I guess they're going, right, well, Chris Pratt is going to guarantee me more bums on seats watching this film.
Yeah.
So it's a business in that sense.
But I mean, what I would say is at least he is... an actor, and I think quite a good
one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, the both.
Parks and Rec and stuff.
Yeah, he's amazing.
He's brilliant.
And I'm not saying him, I'm just using him as a complete...
I know. But there was one, I think, situation very, very recently where a YouTube star got a job in the West End and sold the place out. So the theatre was very, very happy. But again, I don't always go by reviews because disagree with reviewers quite a lot of the time. But by all accounts, this person wasn't very good.
Yeah,
they were
yeah.
pretty terrible, and that job probably should have gone to an actor that was, you know, just for the role.
I think with social
again,
media
it'll be bums
well.
On seats. They bums know this seats. This guy's business, got yeah. millions
with,
of followers.
With social media as well, I think what it was an actor who we worked with. I won't say any names. He said he didn't want to. He didn't want to be on social media because he's let's say his name's Danny. So Danny didn't want to create a social media because he didn't want people to know who Danny was.
I get
he
that,
wanted
yeah.
people to watch a show and go, wow, he's amazing. He's amazing mm-hmm. at being that. And he didn't want people to know who he was as a person so he could make his characters more believable. But then it's like, how... But now, like you said, with the social media thing, like, is he getting less work now because he's...
I mean, I'm not... it's a possibility that, people might... You know, you can walk in a room and wow a casting director, wow a director and whatever, and if you're right for the part, you're right for the part, like, and that should be how it's done. Yeah. I hope it's used not as much as you know.
But people create this brand on Twitter.
Yeah, I mean,
I've noticed that a lot of, you know, like Dwayne Johnson, he's got a massive Instagram following.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But his Instagram's very polished.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, he's probably got management and people like
that
who are running that for him to create this Dwayne the Rock Johnson brand.
Yeah, and it's doing well for
and
him.
It's doing well
for him.
He's
the most paid actor in Hollywood at the moment.
He works hard. He works ridiculously hard.
And he's
a good actor. He's great at what he does, but his social media persona
he'll
is very...
smackdown on people.
He will
smell what he's cooking.
But yeah, no, it's crazy how people create this sort of online persona of themselves. It's totally different to
and it's
the person who you... I mean, I've got people on my Facebook who are a totally different person.
Yeah.
Like, on Facebook, they're like, oh, the bubbly this. Then you see them in the pub and they're very quiet and they're very, like, inward. And it's like, how can you...
It's an avatar, isn't it? It allows you to be... The internet and social media allows you to be the best version
of
yourself.
It's an avatar. It's literally...
Have you had people, though, where... And I've had this, where you're friends with someone. You like them. They're your friend.
Yeah,
but suddenly, they become impossible on social media.
Yeah, I've got...
And
you've
just mute them. Because you're like, I like you when I meet you. You're a mate of mine, but you're doing my nutting when you're on social media talking about something that's just absolute nonsense.
And then
nonsense
when you notice
whatever.
The first thing, everything they do is like, oh my God, like, you know, they do something like in their Instagram videos or the stories or whatever. Once they do something once, you like, every time you go on it, you're like, oh, he's doing that same thing all. And again, like, you feel like you've got to mute them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like, I've had like mates who, like, again, I'd go and sit in the... I'd chat like this for hours with him, having a pint in the pub, and then I'll see a post on social media and be like, I didn't, like, what? That's not, you don't think that. Do you know what I mean? Like, especially like you say with like kind of the slightly right post, and I'm like, I'm looking at it going, fucking hell, like, I've sat and drank with you and we're good mates, I've known you for years, and you're sharing that now, and it's like, fuck, yeah, it's crazy.
You know what annoys me on Facebook is when other than you, is when you've got, it's probably the certain type of people that you have on Facebook, but you know when you wake up in the morning, you make your coffee and you're about to have a productive day, and then you see on Facebook, like, I don't know, Danny Collins or whoever has shared, like, oh, I've just woke up.
And, people shared too much.
Took the kids to school, now I'm going to decorate the back room, and then I'm going to sit with my feet up and have a marshmallow hot chocolate, and I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah,
I literally don't care. Like, that's... Are you just going to Facebook everything? Oh, I've just turned the cooker on.
But again,
now I'm preparing me chicken dippers. And
I'd rather that than some of the stuff that gets shared, though. Do you know what I mean? Yes. I'd rather know that Danny's having a nice day.
But well, yeah, there is that element of like positivity. I suppose that they're spreading
morning.
Positivity in a way, aren't they? Some of, like you said, some of the far right shit that you do.
Yeah, and sometimes you need just a bit
Danny
of normality online, don't you? Do you know what I mean? You look at it and go, oh, so there is
then
a normal
it's
guy.
It's the addictive nature of it as well. So people are just posting anything because. Getting those kind of likes, comments, anything like that releases dopamine.
It's about attention. It's about getting attention.
But it's a natural, like, chemical like effect. And we don't. Yeah. One of the other funny things is I listened to like a TED Talk thing a while ago on it, and you know, we regulate things that release dopamine and gives us highs, like alcohol, sex, drugs, all that stuff. 16 or 18 or whatever it is. No regulation on social media.
Yeah.
You could be an 8-year-old that is addicted.
And many
to
are, I bet.
Your phones and social media. Yeah. And the other thing that I heard was the, you know, the refresh function on your emails and on Twitter. You pull it down, it has a little wheelie thing and then pops up with whatever. That's based on slot machines in Vegas. So that is based on
the
that kind of gambling, dopamine hit, all that stuff. That kind of, I'll pull it down, then I have to wait a couple of seconds. Watch the wheel go around. Will there be anything? Yes, I've got an interaction. Amazing.
Someone's
got a
comment on my photo.
So it's bad. And apparently the person that invented that function is now massively regrets it. They said they didn't really know what they were doing at the time, and now they realise how they've got people addicted to their phones, and they really regret doing it.
In a way, like what we were saying in the car, weren't we? Yes, I've had Blake Harrison in my car. we were saying in the car on the way down that I'll go on my, and it's worse at night when I get in bed. I'm on my phone and I refresh my Instagram and I'm like, oh, you know, so and so's commenting on my photo. Or, oh my God, Vicky McCall's just like, you know. You get people who you're big fans of, or you know, they'll like your stuff.
I'd be excited if Vicky liked any of
them. Well, but you know, and I'll refresh my Instagram and I go, all right, buzzing, I've just got 12 likes, fine, it's the day. And then I'll go onto my Twitter and I'll, you know, someone's slagging me off normally. But then I'll check that and I'll go straight back to my Instagram like seconds later, and I'm like, I've literally less than a minute ago checked my Instagram. Why am I doing it again? And it's like you're constantly, I've said it on social media that I'm genuinely addicted to social media, and it's a problem.
Well, it's like what Blake said, like, it's not regulated, and it is, it, like you say, it is releasing chemicals in your head that, you know, cocaine does and stuff like that. It is addictive. It is, you know, as much as it's harmless in a sense, it does cause harm, that's what the last hour's been about, but do you know what I mean, like, in a sense it's not, you know, you're not going to end up sticking social media in your arm, do you know what I mean, like, it's harmless in that sense, like, but it is still, it is mad addictive, and like you say, people, like, you know, like we were saying earlier, you can't watch a film nowadays without just checking, you know, you might be watching the best film, like, the only way, someone was saying the other day,
Swimming with Men,
a guest of ours a couple of weeks ago was saying that, you know, like, it doesn't happen in the cinema, like, and I really I'll go and watch a film in the cinema and I'm completely transfixed no matter what the film is, and you don't check your phone.
No.
I could be watching that same film for the first time on my TV at home, and you do just find yourself going, looking at your phone. It's so bizarre.
Well, I mentioned to you earlier as well, like, the that whole frustration of being an actor in a show, and people are constantly tweeting about that show, and if it's negative, it can really wind you up, because you're like, you're not watching it.
Yeah,
you're not actually watching the show, you're tweeting about the show. I was in a show Prime Suspect 1973 a few years back. And after the first episode, the main thing that I saw, because again, I'm a bit of an idiot because I will just search what's going on about it, which is terrible for, again, that whole mental health thing. It's really bad for you. But the comments that were constantly there that were slagging off the show was about how plucked the ladies' eyebrows were, because in the 70s they didn't pluck their eyebrows. Like, as if you're watching a show and that's what you're taking from it. Yeah. And not only are you taking it, you have to tell the world about it and take time from watching the show to do it. And it's like, you're not paying enough attention if that's your thought process. You should just watch the show. And after the show, give it a little review or whatever you want to do. Exactly. Hate it, love it, whatever. But not during the show.
Yeah, because you're not giving you time. There was one, literally the other night, I've just done this Channel 5 star thing, and we had a quick look, didn't we? Yeah. We sat and watched it. And it's like a prison drama set in a female prison.
We were sat on our phones, weren't we? Whilst watching it.
Yeah, we were. Yeah, but I mean, I'd seen it. I was in it. Yeah. Well, I wasn't in this one. But but anyway, afterwards, I did what you did. I like typed it in, looked on it. And again, people were going, thought this was supposed to be a drama. Like, it's really like, what's going on? And you look at it and you go, it's the first episode.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, there's not going to be much drama in the first episode. You're meeting everyone in there.
It's mad how you pick up your phone during a series or something. Like, because, like we said in the car, back in the day, before phones, you wouldn't be watching a film or watching EastEnders and pick up a book and go, oh, I'm going to grab a quick couple of pages, or I'm going to read a magazine and see what Danny Dyer's up to this week. Or you know, you just wouldn't do that. Whereas, because of your phone, it's just that,
it's there.
I don't know what it is. It's just the action of, and again, what you've just told me about that scrolling thing's blown my mind. Yeah. Like, that's mental.
Yeah.
Well, my thumb will hit emails because I've got a work thing. I'm like, I'll check the emails, but there's no work coming in or whatever like that. And then I'll close that app. And rather than put my phone down, my thumb, almost separate from my own brain, clicks on Instagram or clicks on Twitter or whatever it is. It's like an involuntary response.
Yeah, Anybody who's listening to this now can always say, well, I know he's not ignoring my tweets, so why is he not replying? So every one of Blake Harrington's fans like,
but I mean, I think
just don't give a shit.
I think as well, though, like, I think I've said this before, like, I think it's so important to be bored. And people don't get bored anymore because of that. Because, like you say, you'll go,
I get bored of doing it. I'm bored.
No, but I mean, like,
enjoy
doing it. You don't. People don't do nothing anymore.
Yeah.
And I think it's so. I remember being a kid, right? And my mum used to work kind of like a late shift, and my dad is one of them blokes. Like, he works dead hard and he just loves to sleep. And my dad would put us in bed at say 7 o'clock, but then we'd have to go and pick my mum up at like 9:30 at night to go and pick her up and bring her home.
Yeah.
So I remember I'd lie there from 7 o'clock till 9:30. I remember it now. This is how I know, you know, like, what's it called? Like a 24-hour clock where like 9 is 21. Yeah. Yeah. I always still look at that and go, right, well, 9 is 21, so it's I go off 9.
Yeah.
So I remember watching for the 21:30. But like, I remember just staring at this clock and being so bored. But then in my head, I'd kind of like, it sounds weird now, but I'd kind of replay an episode of Keenan and Kel in my head, or but then I'd make up little stories in my head, and I'm like, now, like, that's I do a little bit of writing, and I think that's because of that, because I've had that little
imagination
bit.
A bit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. My imagination's quite vivid because of there looking at this fucking alarm clock.
Like an element of torture, though.
Oh, mate, it was horrible.
Go to bed for 2.5 hours. Don't sleep. Just look at that clock.
Yeah, genuinely.
I find it scary how kids don't really play with toys much now.
Yeah, man.
Because of technology. And like my little brother, I mean, if you get a football or whatever, he'll play with you. But I think he'd much rather be sat playing on Angry Birds or something like that. You know, he can go. I take his iPad away from him when he's at mine. But you know, he's got two iPads.
Yeah.
You know, so one's charged. If the other one dies, the other one's there.
Yeah.
Wow. It's so worrying.
Yeah. Like my little sister, like my little girl, she's got an iPad because my mum wanted to get her one.
Yeah. And I think there's so much great in having an iPad for a kid. Like, the creativeness that you can get from that is...
Of the apps are great for learning.
They can melt your mind as
well. I have, like, a Disney thing that my little girl will watch all the old Disney films. We're going away to Disneyland, so it's nice that she can kind of know the characters and stuff. And, but, like, we very much limit it. She can she can have her iPad on the weekends and only for, like, a little bit. Yeah. And I think that's important because then, like, my little girl, we can go out... and have dinner with family, and my little girl will sit there and she'll chat and she'll be involved.
Have you seen
my little sister's little boy, she has to it's almost like a dummy. She has to take an iPad or her phone.
Right.
She bought him an iPad, but she had to get the one with the SIM card in it because he has to watch his programs on.
Imagine
his
kids had Facebook.
Let him sit and enjoy the company of other people. Like, but he just won't. Like, he's so far gone now that if you're sat in, you know, a restaurant or something eating, and he hasn't got his iPad, he's just running around, he's shouting. He's
maybe
whatever,
they're on like kiddie social media, like on Facebook, like just pooed myself in Nando's lot. Mummy's changing me nappy. Like, Danny Collins.
I think I put that as a tweet actually. The first time I took my little girl, she must have only been 6 months, 7 months.
Pooed
you know when they first start eating,
yeah.
And I took her to Nando's. Well, we went to Nando's, me and my wife.
Extra
and
spicy for the little one, please. Cheers,
I think I gave her a little bit of like the macho peas or whatever, and I was kind of feeding her, and I tweeted saying, "Oh, gutted, my little girl's just had her first Nando's. She can't even tweet about it."
Well, that's it. Like, it's at what age now? What? So you've got a daughter?
Yes, she's five.
How old? Five.
Yeah.
Phoebe's four, or five.
Four. Yeah.
At what age would you think? Right. Okay. Phoebe or your daughter can have Facebook.
That's a tough one.
It's a real tough one.
Or Instagram.
I'm not gonna allow her. I'm gonna wait for her to have a bit of peer pressure, I think, from other kids. Again, I'm definitely not going to let her be one of the first to get it.
Yeah.
I'm going to wait till she comes
when she
home
comes
to
home
me
and goes,
like,
"Oh, Daddy,
they've all got it. I haven't got it, and I'm still going to try and wait a while."
But you can monitor it now, can't you? There's ways where you can go on and obviously with private follow requests
it's
and things
be
like that.
Full like 1984 type stuff in my house with me surveilling everything she's doing on social media.
No, because it is a scary thing, isn't it? Because like you say, like regardless of the dangers of it, like even just the social. You know, if they haven't got it, then they're the odd one out, which you don't want.
You don't want them to get. Like,
I remember being
odd one out, not on the WhatsApp group because.
Because I remember being a kid, and it was like, you know, if you didn't have Sky One, you couldn't watch Pokemon.
Yeah.
And if you went to school and you didn't see the new episode of Pokemon, you were a little bit of an outcast in a way.
And kids can be like that.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
They're just
that's
just what they're like,
you know. It's, oh God, what was I just about to say? In a way, though, I've found that I've got friends who have got daughters who are sort of 11, 12-year-old and, you know, or 13, and they've followed you on Instagram, you're like, and they've gone, "Oh, can you get Tomo to follow me back so I can tell my friends
that
you know," and I've done it, and it's fine, like, I don't mind that, but what I've also found is there is an element of positivity between, like, young girls and young lads. You know, they're all commenting on each other's photos, going, "Oh my God, you look beautiful," and, you know, I like this and like that, and so there is that element of, like, positivity, because I know when I was a kid, I didn't tell my mates that they was beautiful.
No. But I worry about the reason that someone is posting something to maybe get those comments, that kind of like constant need for affirmation and stuff like that. So
yeah, I need everyone to tell me.
Everyone to tell me that I'm beautiful and all
it's
that.
It's like very young insecurity in a way.
I mean, everyone wants to be like, you know, we touched on it earlier, like as actors, like you say, you want people to go, "You're fucking great in that."
Yeah.
Even though you don't say that. You do want that kind of, like you were saying, you know, you don't get it in many other jobs, but if your gaffer does say, "Oh, well done, that, you know, really good, that." It is nice, everybody wants to. So, again, that's an addiction, I guess, you know, people posting pictures and
praise.
It's like, right, I've worked hard on my abs. But are they, that's the thing, right? Abs.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you, I haven't got a clue.
So, like, you know, I've worked hard on these, I want to share it, I want people going, "That's great." And
banging up the old progress pic, hey? Love it.
You've had a few of them, haven't you, Tim?
Well, one or two, yeah. Just good lighting, though. That's all that is.
I think we'll, we've done like over an hour now, but thanks
very
much,
mate,
for coming on.
Again, Blake Harrison. Buzzing. Yeah, thank you very much, mate. It's been great.
Guys,
it's been great.
Cheers, Blake.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Oh.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that was ace. It really was. Like, now I respect him so, so much more.
Yeah.
As an actor.
Yeah, yeah.
And as just a great bloke. Because I was really surprised. I think the first time I met Blake was at a Channel 4 party years ago, probably going back 7 years ago now. And it was just a quick hello, like, and to sit and actually see how intelligent that guy is and how well presented he is and how clued up he is on not only subjects, but, you know, chatting off subjects, off mic. He's just a clever guy. And, you know, for his character that personally I recognise him most from, it's just the absolute polar opposite.
I love when you meet an actor, which you know, we're lucky enough to get to do quite a lot in this business. I love when you meet an actor who's so different from the character.
Yeah.
Like, and you just go, wow. And you love the character anyway. And you literally just go, wow. Like, you know what I mean? And again, yeah, the first time I met Blake, the first series of The Inbetweeners had gone out. And then I had a little job with him. And yeah, same thing. When I met him, I was like, wow. Wow, yeah. Like, I genuinely would have well bought that, like, that Neil wasn't a character. It was just they got an actor in who was, like, you know, a bit dopey and fun and that.
It was actually on, just while we're talking about The Inbetweeners again. So originally,
yeah,
the James Buckley, who played Jay Cartwright in Inbetweeners.
I love that you know all the second names.
I told you, mate. I'm a massive fan.
You love it, yeah, yeah, that's great.
Jay Cartwright was originally supposed to play Neil.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then it just so happened that during rehearsals or whatever it was that they ended up swapping it around.
Ah, nice, man. That's wicked.
And I mean, it's not like a secret fact. They was talking about it on a show.
Yeah.
Which, imagine how different that would have been.
I know, yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. Question for you, though.
Huh?
Question for you.
Go on.
What's Gadget's second name?
I ain't got a clue.
But you know all the...
I like The Inbetweeners more than I like This Is England.
Fair play.
Without a doubt.
Fair play. Flowers, by the way.
Is that Gadget Flowers?
Gary Flowers.
Gary Flowers. What?
Yeah. Do you know how I know that? He was supposed to die in 90, wasn't he? And that was on the headstone. That's the only way I know that Gadget's second name.
Mm,
was, well. That's another story for another thing.
Well, there you go, yeah.
we said at the beginning that we'd have a little question for you. Again, you know, we've done this in a couple of past episodes, and it's something that we want to carry on in episodes that we can, and we can have a bit of fun. Do you want to ask a question, Zay?
No, you ask it.
You sure?
Yeah, because I forgot.
You forgot it?
Yeah. I'm half drunk now. I've had a Budweiser or two.
We want to know, right, because Blake's subject is obviously social media, and we touched on in the chat that, you know, we think social media's gone a little bit sour of late, and it's causing, you know, not some nice stuff. It's spreading a lot of hate, yeah. Luckily, like we said in the chat, though, you know, places like pages like Facebook have now banned a lot of far-right groups, which I personally think is a great thing, is just stop spreading hate, basically.
Yeah.
So, remember a time, boys and girls, if you're round about mine and Tomo's age specifically, you know, you're kind of mid to late 20s, you'll remember a golden age, a beautiful time when social media was young and fresh.
Yes.
Before
the days of...
What's
sorry,
that?
Go on.
What did you say?
No, go on. What was you saying?
The before days what? Of...
Before what?
Before Facebook. What's his name who made Facebook?
Mark Zuckerberg.
Before Zuckerberg brought us Facebook, which, you know, Facebook's amazing. We want to know in the days of, sorry.
Pixo.
MySpace, Bebo.
Yeah. All them when you just used to create your own website.
Exactly. We want to know, when social media was young in them days, what's your most cringy story from back then? Like, because we all did it. We all did a Pixo page and devoted it to our MSN, girlfriend.
MSN.
Or, exactly. We put in our MSN names. Yeah, like
Tomo loves... Question mark.
Yeah, we've all...
Remember signing in and out.
So I was just going to say that.
So you get noticed.
Shit. Yeah, because you'd see that, like, the girl that you fancied had come on or the guy that you fancied had come on and you'd kind of sign in and out and be like...
Yeah.
Oh, they'll see me now. And
can you remember them like Bitmoji things that they did?
Yeah.
They say something. Yes. Can you remember them?
Yes.
So say something. What?
This is exactly what, like, this chat already is. I can see a massive smile on Mr. Tagoose's face. And yeah, this is what we want. We want to spread some love, some nostalgia from that beautiful time when social media was predominantly used by, you know, teenagers, and it was good, man. It was it was a place of happiness, and you've got a story, Sam. I'll take it away.
Mine, just thinking about that when we were saying what's the most embarrassing sort of name that you had, that your Pixo page. But I've just remembered a really embarrassing email address that I had. You know, when you was a kid, you used to make an email address.
Yeah.
And then when you turned like 18, 19 or 16,
you had to get rid of it.
You had to go into like Phones For You or something and you're getting a contract and like, what's your email address? So what I want to know is what the most embarrassing email address is that any of you lot have got.
Nice.
Mine was Timmy Pimpson.
I remember that.
Can you remember
that? That was your MSN handle, wasn't it?
Was it?
That
was my email address.
Through MSN, yeah, I remember that.
Timmy Pimpson. Shit. I don't know why.
Timmy Pimpson.
Pimpson. I thought I was a pimp. A bit of
Where's
a
the Simpson come from?
Simpson. I don't know. I probably was watching Simpsons when I did it, but I thought I'm a pimp, so I'm a Pimpson.
Pimpson, nice. Yeah, nice.
So what I want to know is the most embarrassing email address that you've got. So if you can tweet that to us, then.
Mine was EZ Ellis.
EZ Ellis.
Because that was my rap name. My rap name was Easy Ellis because I was a massive fan of the NWA, Eazy-E, like, you know. Embarrassing stuff, man. I guess for me was Pixo. Me and a couple of my mates.
What about that mustache you had in 90?
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Pretty embarrassing.
Me and a couple of my mates used to put up rap lyrics. And they were dreadful. And some stuff would just, it was horrible and just daft. Yeah. We were inspired by Eminem and that, but we were 14-year-old kids in Wivenchy.
Yeah, that's when we just had things to do instead of it all just being social media orientated.
Exactly. And it was good, though, because it was creative. Do you know what I mean? Like, you'd write mad lyrics or you'd build your little website. And, I used to like Pixo especially. Like, you'd have, like, pages dedicated to, like, one of your mates.
Yeah.
This is my mate, Joe Farrah. He's in the year above me at school.
Yeah.
He taught me how to use MSN a few years ago, and we've been best mates ever since.
Yeah, it's mental. It's good. But then, like I said, that's when social media... I mean, it still is good. It can be as good or it can be as bad as you want it to be.
Yeah.
I'm very selective with, you know, who I choose to follow on my personal stuff. And
yeah, man.
Yeah, because you just end up getting fed bullshit, don't you? But
that's it. And let's bring back the good, man. Let's bring back the days of, like, you know, get creative on social media and just use it for good. Stop. One thing I've took away from this, I'm going to stop sharing so much, like, opinions.
Thank God for that.
Nah, genuinely, man, because even
Thank
though...
Thank you, Blake. Blake's bought this out. Thank you.
Because I do, not on Twitter or anything, but on Facebook, I do, you know, I do probably bore... I only have my family and my close friends on Facebook, and I probably do bore them with stuff, so... I'll give that a miss.
We don't care.
But guys, again, thank you. Like we said at the top here, this is the last one of our little block from London. If you are a new listener, obviously there's going to be loads of new listeners now because Blake quite rightly has such a huge fan base from the amazing body of work he's done from The In-Betweeners to Dad's Army, you know, Trust Me, loads of amazing stuff. Bob
Bliss
the Builder.
As well. Did Bob the Builder do Bliss?
He was a voice in Bliss. We looked at before, didn't we? Because we said Joe was in that, Joe Hartley, our good friend.
So,
man, the guy's, you know, the guy's done so much great stuff. And thanks for coming on, Blake. But to them new listeners and them old listeners, if you've even thought about doing it, I know we say it a lot, but we want to do more of this. We want to get down to London again soon. Or even further afield, you know, last week Aaron Craskell, we thought he was from London, he was from Dover, we could have gone down to Dover and seen him. So please do continue to share, comment, tell your friends as well in real life, like get off social media, I mean share it on social media, but go and tell someone in real life. And the Patreon, www.patreon.com/overratedeverything. Please go on there, have a little look. For the price of like a pint, not even a pint, for the price of like a pasty at Greg's, I think it is, like $3. You do love Greg's. We've had a lot of Greg's this weekend. For the price of a pasty at Greg's, I think it's, you know, I think it's $3, which equates to probably about £2.50 pre-Brexit. Please, you know, jump on that. And if you can spare that a month, please do it. It makes sure that we can go and get more amazing guests like Blake, like Aaron last week, and Ingrid and Jason Mazza and Matt Stocks, and obviously all the guests we've done before that in the north. Tomo still has to travel to Manchester or Liverpool, and we need that. So thank you very much, guys. Episode 25 in the bag, Tomo.
Yes.
Here's to another 125, brother.
Yes, I'm off to barbecue.
Nice.